bird. So, okay. And then after it uploads to me, I'll send you the link, and then you can do with it whatever you want to do with it. That work for you?
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Sure. Now, what I would suggest is that you set up, you know, like a Calendly link so that people can schedule on your Calendly link, and then it'll automatically create that Zoom link for you.
Awesome. Okay.
And if
I
you
was
need,
trying to set up the calendar thing, but I didn't know how to do it.
Well, if you need help doing that, holler at me later and I will help you create that.
Most definitely. I would definitely need help. I can't pretend like I don't, because I won't pretend like I know everything.
But, you know, that's the way that we do it. And if we all help each other out, you know.
Yes, indeed. And it's a blessing.
That's right. And if everybody knew everything, then we wouldn't need each other, would we?
That's true. That's true. That is very true.
So what part of the world are you in?
I am currently in Jarrow, Texas.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope. I'm in Jarrow, Texas. And it's actually pretty nice.
The reason I say, are you kidding? I'm in Katy, Texas.
Okay. Not too far away.
No, not at all.
That is awesome.
Because what major interstate are you close to?
I am close to I-35.
Okay. See, I'm right off of I-10.
Okay. Yeah. And I've been in that area before. It was just through passing, but I've been in that area. I think it's because I got lost.
So we are in the same great state.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Raised in Texas?
Born, spent most of my life in Texas. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
Graduated from Texas Tech.
Okay. Awesome. 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 I graduated from University of Phoenix out there in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm originally from Chicago.
Oh, so it just took you a while to get, you know, to come to your senses and come to a nice, normal place.
I'm sorry, but I can't disagree with you.
Well, I've been to Atlanta. I've been to Chicago. So, you know.
Chicago is a definite place of its own that is hard to compare to anywhere else.
Well, I agree. Yeah. No, and very interesting place. And Atlanta is also interesting. Can't say that I like the Atlanta airport, because I don't.
Oh, I can relate to that.
So I am your first victim, am I?
Yes, you're my very first. And I'm very grateful to have met you. I am, because I do love the energy. I love your personality, the whole nine. I am very, very, very excited to have met you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Well, I find you to be very, very brave, because, you know, poetry comes from deep, deep, deep in the soul. From a deeper place than just writing a book.
Yes.
And you are brave enough to put your work out there. And that, to me, is just amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was hard at first, because I was my own enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was my own enemy because I was afraid that other people wouldn't like it. But I kind of cheated myself, because I didn't see that it would make more sense to allow them to read it, to have an understanding of it, to make their own interpretation of it before I make their interpretation for them.
Right. And you know, we always have to, the thing that I always circle back to is, you know, who did I write it for? Mm-hmm. And what is the message that I'm trying to give? And then also to remember, I'm not Walmart. I can't be all things to all people.
That is true. I'm not a one-stop shop. That is so true. That is so true.
And I have on my book, I have 7 one-star reviews.
Okay.
But I say to myself, their money spends just as well as the 5-star review person's money spends.
That is so true. I found the name of your book to actually be very intriguing. And I wonder what inspired the name of your book.
Well, interesting story is that several years back, I hit a very, very dark place in my life. And I decided that I was going to get healthy mentally, physically, and emotionally. Okay. So then you fast forward a couple of years from that point. And our mother died when she was 49, and she's now been gone almost 38 years. And I've struggled with Mother's Day because my first Mother's Day as a mother was my first Mother's Day without my mother, because my mother died 2 weeks before my oldest child, her first grandchild, was born. And my youngest sister had commented that she often made a pie, a chocolate meringue pie, which was kind of our family thing, to honor our mother for Mother's Day. And so I was like, this one year, I said, okay, I'm going to try this. So I made the pie, and I talk about this in the first 3 paragraphs, 3 or 4 paragraphs of the book. And it's actually, this is how it happened. I sat down, I was eating the pie, and I started remembering. And it was in that moment that I realized that I had been trying to fill what I called the myself-sized hole in my heart with food, because I believed that nobody loved me. And the only person who didn't love me was me. And I realized in that moment, wow, you can't eat love.
Mm. Wow, that is amazing. It is amazing, because from listening to you, it's like you can hear the passion in your voice. You can definitely see that this touched you or had an impact on your life in some shape, form, or fashion. And it's awesome to even be able to express yourself. And that, to me, has always been a brave point in a person's life, to be able to express themselves, especially going through some form of hardship. That is awesome. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
We applaud you. No doubt. No doubt. I applaud you for that. Wow. Okay. So that as definitely answers the question, was there a single moment that caused you to re-elevate where you were in life? That definitely answers that question, because you definitely had to do some restructuring in your life in order to be able to get to where you are now. And it's a blessing.
So, well, and to recognize that I wanted to be a better version of myself than I had been. Mm-hmm. That even though I had been living my life up to that point, I wasn't living my best life.
Okay.
And I wanted to do everything that I could so that I could start living my best life.
Awesome. Awesome. So when you say your best life, what is best for you? What do you consider best? Because, you know, everybody have their own version.
Well, my best life is living a life where I'm not questioning whether I have worth or value. Because one of the things that I came to discover, I went on this journey of getting healthy mentally, physically, and emotionally. And I tell people now, if I would have known how hard it was going to be, I don't know that I ever would have started. But, you know, oftentimes when we begin things, we don't know how hard it's going to be. So we simply begin, right?
Exactly.
Okay, you're in Texas, I'm in Texas. You know how big the state is.
Yes.
How often do you really think about driving across the state if you think about it too much, it gets to be too overwhelming. So you simply get in your car and you figure out, okay, the next Buc-ee's is so many miles away, and you make your trip by going like that, right? So that's what I did. I started focusing on the next tiny milestone. And instead of letting it overwhelm me, I learned how to celebrate the small wins.
Awesome.
And you ask, what does my best life look like? My best life looks like I realize I can only control me. I'm not in control of anybody else.
Yes.
I eliminated some words and some phrases from my vocabulary. I don't say should, because anytime you're throwing that should in, those are rules and regulations imposed by somebody else, and the shame starts off again. I own my feelings, because if somebody does something where I feel sad, mad, happy, joyful, whatever, I have a choice as to how I feel. No one can make me anything except reservations for dinner.
That's awesome.
And I cannot make anyone anything except reservations for dinner. If they choose to react how they choose to react, that's on them.
Awesome.
It's a choice. And I also started looking at, you know, I ended up losing almost 100 pounds through this journey.
Oh, wow.
And I started listening to what people were saying, and they would say, I have a cheat day, I have a cheat week, I have a cheat month, I cheated, I did all this stuff. And I was like, you know, I want to clean up the vocabulary and want to clean up the thoughts in my head. So the only way that you can cheat in my world is on your taxes, on a test, or your significant other. Anything else is a choice.
Exactly.
And there are only three kinds of choices. There are good choices, great choices, and not so good choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because I came to understand that, you know, the thoughts that were in my head, the beliefs that I had, the habits that I had built had occurred over time, and some of them were not serving me any longer. But, you know, we allow the outside world, which is something that you express in your poetry, we allow the outside world to dictate to us who we are and how we should be.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
So on that journey, and the journey still continues, I continue to recognize I'm only in control of me. I can only do something about me.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That is so true.
And rewrite the tapes that are in my head.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So how do you, view yourself as far as your, when you said that you were working on your mental health, your physical health, you know, so how do you see yourself as far as the mental health is concerned, and what would you give to someone else as far as advice on helping themselves mentally?
Well, mentally, I'm much more stable than I was, because I now recognize that I am in control. I have choices. I learned to name my feelings. I am not afraid to say, you know, I feel sad right now. I feel mad right now. I'm angry right now. My husband didn't like it when I started it, because he wants to fix things. And I would have to, you know, tell him, I don't need you to fix it. I don't need advice. I simply need you to listen. So starting to own what I'm feeling,
mm-hmm.
because oftentimes, and we do this to children so much, oftentimes what happens, and this is what I say to people, if they're looking for a next or a first step to take, start naming your feelings. Be honest with yourself about what you're feeling.
Exactly.
Why are you feeling that? What is it that you want to have happen next? Because so many times I could say to you, and tell me if this has happened to you, You could say to me, I'm feeling really sad right now because of something you said. And I would say to you, well, you shouldn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh,
right?
Yes.
Right? Okay. So let's take that into kind of an abstract so that we can understand what's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
You come up and you say to me, don't you like my blue shirt? And I say to you, that shirt is green. Oh, no, it's blue. I said, no, it's green. And because I'm somebody that you know, like, and trust, you start questioning yourself. Is my shirt blue or is it green?
Exactly.
And I keep saying, and you're around people like me who keep saying, well, that's a great green shirt. Well, then you go off to a land of people who are enlightened or aware, and you say to them, don't you like my green shirt? And they say to you, what do you mean? It's blue.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that to people with our feelings. When somebody expresses to us what they are thinking, what they are feeling, and we say to them, using that terrible, terrible word, you shouldn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling them that their blue shirt is green.
Exactly.
And that sets off tension inside of us.
Yes.
And anytime we've got internal tension, we have to do something to release that tension.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And for me, one of the ways that I released that tension was I ate. Other people may do other things to release that tension, but it also starts causing self-doubt.
Yes.
And when we start doubting ourselves, that sets off a whole nother problems where we don't trust our choices, our instincts, our thoughts, or even our beliefs. And we start doubting who we are and our worth.
Yes.
So I say to people, if you want to start somewhere, if you want to start one place, start naming your feelings, grab a pen and grab a paper and start naming your feelings, write down how you are feeling in that moment. And feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Own it.
Yes.
And when somebody tries to tell you that your shirt is green, you stand there, you stamp your foot, you say, no, it's blue.
Exactly. That kind of reminds me of a project that I had my children do. My children, because I'm a person of energy, I actually study energy. I do the vibrations and things of that nature, right? So my children say, I want to learn how to do it. I say, well, the first thing that you have to do is you have to write down all of your positives about yourself, all your negatives about yourself, and you have to be 100% honest and truthful with yourself. And when you look at these things, you recognize them for what they truly are, because what a lot of people don't look at is sometimes your negatives can be a positive. Like if someone says that, or you're stubborn, but what are you stubborn about? If someone says, oh, here's a drink, and you say, no, I don't drink, and they're persistent in trying to give you a drink, and you're so stubborn, you're like, no, I don't drink. Please stop trying to give me this drink. Then your negative becomes a positive. But if you were just stubborn about something that makes no sense to be stubborn about, like someone says, oh, well, you may think that that's a nice hairdo, but I can see something that will actually be better for you. At least give it a try. And you're like, no, I'm not going to give it a try. I like this. I've been doing this for years. So you're pretty much stuck in your own ways. So I tell my children, if you're not going to be 100% with yourself, then it's going to be harder for you to understand how I deal with different types of energies, and for you to be able to deal with that yourself, because you don't know you and you have to know you first. So when you were saying these things, it kind of brought me to that. And my children are now, like my son, he just turned 24 on April the 23rd. And now he's realizing what I said about knowing yourself first. So he's actually going through those phases, and it's actually helping him out a lot.
And that's so true. If we are not, and that was one of the things that I had to come to understand, is I needed to know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, of all the way that I had lived my life, I had, as I say, I sacrificed myself on the altar of everybody else.
Yes.
And so I got lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to refind myself.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And oftentimes that's not easy, because when we start taking care of ourselves, when we start owning who we are, when we start naming our feelings and standing firmly on the fact that our shirt is blue and not green, the people around us don't like it, because we are changing. We're shifting the rules.
Yes.
We're rewriting the story. And they're like, wait a minute, hold on, this doesn't work for me because I liked it the way that it was. The way it was worked for me.
Yes.
And really and truly, I don't care if it worked for you or didn't work for you. It was working for me and we need to go back.
Exactly.
And that's where I also say to people, you need to be really clear why you're going on this journey, why you are deciding that you are going to become the best version of yourself. Because when people start pushing on you to go back to who you were, you need to reflect on why you're doing this so that you can stand firm on your shirt being blue and not green.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're going to very easily slide back to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be very disappointed in yourself.
Yes.
Because let's face it. It takes us however many years old we are to reach the point where we are. And so all of those thoughts, habits, beliefs, all of that is that many years old.
Yes.
Indeed. You cannot snap your fingers, turn around, do anything, wave a wand, throw nothing. It is not going to change overnight.
That's true.
It is not going to change overnight.
Yes, indeed.
And we get so frustrated with ourselves when it doesn't.
Yeah. And you know, actually, it takes like, okay, according to science, it takes 22 days in order to form a habit. So if it takes you 22 days to form a habit and you've been doing this same habit for however many years you've been doing it, how long do you think it's going to take you to fix yourself when fixing yourself is far, far harder than forming a habit?
Right. And truthfully, how many times have you formed a new habit and then something happened,
mm-hmm.
and it triggers you and you drop the new habit like a hot potato?
Yes.
And you find yourself back to where you were.
Yes.
Because the way I see old habits is, you know, here in Texas, for the most part, we don't have cellars, but you know, I can be creative and I can be imaginative. The way that I see habits is one of those houses up north that has the cellar and uh-huh. you've got, you know, that heavy door and you get the really steep steps that go down into that deep, dark cellar. And you have to have like 24 padlocks on the door to make sure whatever is down there doesn't get out. Well, that's where our old habits live. Our old habits live in that dark cellar. We've got 24 padlocks on it. And if something happens and we don't latch all 24 padlocks, they come busting out.
Yes.
And they return with a vengeance.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That is so true. That is so true. And now I was also looking at your title because titles are so important to me. The title to your book, oh my goodness, titles are so important to me. It says you can't eat love. Now, one of the things that I can say about that, as far as my opinion of it, I actually see it as a very open title. Like, you can get so many things from that. And one of the things that I get from that is pretty much you can't really wear your heart on your shoulder. Because so many people do wear their hearts on their shoulders. And it's important that you understand not to do that because you can be hurt so bad that it's hard to recover from it. And some people just don't recover from it.
Well, exactly. And the thing that I talk about in the book is discovering your very best friend in the whole wide world. Because so many times we as human beings are seeking out love, and we're seeking out love externally. And as you said, you know, we often wear our heart on our shoulders so that we can allow someone else to love us, to take care of us, you know, whatever. But we also, by doing that, we set ourselves up to be hurt very easily. So what I came to understand is I had a need to be heard. I had a need to be cared for. I had a need to feel important. Mm-hmm. And the people around me, while there's nothing wrong with them, they get tired of hearing the same song and dance over and over and over again, right? They get bored. Right. Or you can be around people who listen to talk. people who are listening and all they're doing is waiting for you to take a breath so they can start talking, so they can hijack the conversation, regardless of what it is you're expressing. So what I recognized and what I tell people also is I discovered my very best friend in the whole wide world, and that's me.
Exactly.
Guess who is available at 2 o'clock in the morning and doesn't really care if you're hoeing the same road about whatever so-and-so said the other day for the 200th time?
Yes.
Your very best friend in the whole wide world will listen to you. And I grab pen and paper, and this is what I advocate, grab pen and paper and start writing and having that conversation in writing. Mm-hmm. And I will include phrases to myself that include, of course you felt that way. Why wouldn't you? Of course, you know, I acknowledge my feelings. I was feeling very angry when so-and-so did such and such. Well, of course you felt that way. Why wouldn't you? This is what was going on. This is how you reacted. Of course, of course. But I'll tell you a secret. I rarely reread anything that I write. Now, why is that? Unlike you and I having this conversation that's being recorded, the majority of conversations that you have with people are not recorded.
Right, exactly.
So when I have my handwritten conversations with myself, I rarely reread them. Mm-hmm. But the benefit to having that handwritten conversation is, number one, I'm able to articulate what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. I feel acknowledged. I'm no longer seeking that acknowledgement.
Exactly.
I feel fulfilled. I feel whole. I feel at peace. And then I can just leave it. I get the hamsters off the wheels inside my head. I send them back to the pet market.
Exactly. There you go. I have a thing that I do, which is exactly the same thing, but I gave it a title. I call it expressions.
Oh, I like that.
I actually write these expressions, which is these conversations which I'm having with myself about different things that's happened to me. And then sometimes I have those conversations with myself about things that's happened to other people and how they reacted to those things at that moment. So when I write those things, I actually never go back and read them except to make any type of spelling corrections, because now I've actually started to put them out there for other people to see. Mm. And it's just to me, it's just an opportunity to help people understand that there's nothing wrong with expressing yourself. There's nothing wrong with talking to yourself, having that conversation with yourself. It's just another opportunity for you to understand who you are. And if you don't understand who you are, then how about this? Jump in the spaceship, fly away, and never come back. And we all know that there's not a human on this planet that has spaceships. So you may as well get to know yourself then, right?
Well, and truthfully, the other thing that I came to realize is if I didn't love myself, how can I expect anybody else to love me?
True.
So I needed to learn to love myself. And I'm a pretty amazing person, if you ask me. And what you think about me, you know, it's okay. It's okay if you don't love me, if you don't, you know, that's okay, because I'm very secure and confident that I love me. I'm not having to go to you to get what it is that I'm needing. And that's where so many people get lost. They get lost in looking for fulfillment, for love, for whatever, from somebody else. And it doesn't work that way.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
We need to love ourselves, care for ourselves, value ourselves first.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree with you. Now, the other thing to add to that is because we actually take the time out to learn who we are and to love ourselves, we actually now know what we can tolerate, what we can accept from the other person that, quote unquote, considers themselves loving us. We right. know what path we want to take in our lives and what direction we want to go in. We know this now. Why? Because we took the time out to learn who we are.
Yeah, which goes back to this. I came to recognize that, first of all, I didn't have a boundary with myself, much less a boundary with anybody else. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we understand that we've got two boundaries, the boundary with ourselves, the boundary with everybody else. We teach other people how to treat us.
Exactly.
By how we treat ourselves.
Yes.
So if you drop something and you say, oh my gosh, how could I be so stupid that I dropped that? And you go on and on and on. And then you turn around and you say to your significant other, a friend, somebody, and they make some kind of comment in the same vein to you. You say, you can't talk to me that way. They're like, wait, hold on. They just talked about themselves in the same way that I just talked about them. I don't believe anything they say. So why should I do what they are asking me to do?
Exactly.
Actions speak louder than words. So we need to get really, really clear on the boundary we set with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that boundary is good and that boundary is solid and that we are clear on what we will accept, what we will not accept, and how we're going to allow people to speak to us, including ourselves.
Exactly.
And then we can start establishing that boundary with other people.
Yes.
But until we are super clear and rigid, not rigid as in inflexible, but until we are really clear on our boundary with ourselves, we cannot expect other people to honor our boundaries.
Exactly. And we also have to learn to openly see and understand different points of views.
Right.
Sometimes people are talking to you and they may not mean it in one way. They may mean it in the most positive and sincere way possible, but how we reciprocate that may be totally different, and it can open up a whole nother door that way. So that's why that's another reason why it's so important for us to know who we are.
Yeah.
And to love ourselves for who we are. It's got to be that way.
Exactly. And two of the phrases that I've learned to incorporate in my conversation are, one, I hear you say, you know, and mirror back to the person what it is they're saying to make sure I'm really understanding what it is they're saying. But also, if I'm not really clear or I'm not really believing or there's something that's a little whatever, I'll say, I'm just curious about whatever.
Exactly. Oh my goodness, I say that too. I say that too.
And I have to laugh because my youngest son says, okay, what is it that you're really wanting to know?
Yes. yes, indeed. I understand.
And then, you know, what we can do by having that kind of clear conversation with other people is we can quit telling ourselves stories. Because
yes.
That's the other thing that we do. When we don't have solid boundaries with ourselves and we're not clear on the boundaries with other people, we start telling ourselves stories.
Yes.
We start making up what other people are thinking, what they're feeling, what their reactions are, and all this kind of stuff. And here's the secret. It's all on them. I can only control me. I'm not in control of you. So I'm not going to waste my energy making up a story about what you're doing, because then you're taking up space in my head and you're not paying rent.
Oh my goodness, I say that all the time. That is so funny. It's so funny to hear someone else say that, because I tell a bunch of people, I was like, look, right now you're taking up space in my head and you're not paying any rent there. So I need you to get back. I need you to explain that to me a little better, because I'm not really understanding what you're saying. And they'll look at me and they'll start laughing. And then they'll explain to me what they're saying. It's like, oh my goodness, I've never heard anybody say it that way. But to hear someone else say it, the same thing. That is too funny. But it's also a confirmation that people who actually work on themselves, we go through a lot of similar instances. We say a lot of same things. Even if we change the wording a little bit, homonyms, because we know that that's, it can mean the same thing, but just have a different spelling. But either way, is proof that of understanding self works as long as you're willing to do it. Yes, indeed. That's such a blessing.
Yes. Well, Well, the other thing is great minds think alike.
Yes, yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Oh, I am so your book. I always get the string and the heart shape. That is, it's so cool. It's so creative. Did you actually create that yourself?
No, I had paid somebody to do the cover. I get loads of compliments on the cover.
It's beautiful. I really love it. I'm loving the title itself. I'm loving the whole thing. It is so beautiful.
To me, the cover is very clear about what the book is about.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, it's so many different ways you can look at that. You can't eat love. And it's like, no matter how you look at it or how you slice it, you're going to come back to that same point about bettering oneself. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of an author who knows exactly what they want. Because from one author to another author, you can pretty much tell that you knew what you wanted. You knew what you wanted to say. And you pretty much knew how to convey that message just off the title alone. And that's beautiful. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
That is beautiful. I love it. Well, one thing I'll definitely say is I am extremely happy to have had this interview with you. I really love your energy. I definitely learned something from your passion and the way that you speak. I've definitely learned something. And I'll tell you, these are lessons that I can actually take with me for the rest of my life, because it's always a blessing to speak with someone who has some form of insight about the things that either I'm already doing or the processes that I'm already going through. And it's helpful because there's a confirmation there that says that if you continue to do the things that you're doing to better yourself or to understand yourself, then you'll see that other people are doing the same thing. And if we're all doing the same thing that allows us to better ourselves, then something has to be right about it.
I agree 100%. 100%. Yeah. So
that's a lesson. And I definitely enjoyed myself and having fun with doing this interview with you. This is lovely. It is.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity, really. I enjoy your poetry, and as I said, it's very brave of you to put poetry out there, because that comes from so deep inside. I'm not that brave.
I disagree with you on that, but okay. I disagree with you. I mean, definitely showing yourself to be a bright person to me, so I disagree.
Well, I appreciate that.
But I love poetry, and my goal is, if I can reach one person and that one person reach somebody else, then I feel like I've done my job.
Well, my objective is to reach one person and then one person and then one person until I've reached a million people, and then I'm going to start over again.
Hey, there you go. That's a blessing. Mm-hmm. One thing that was told to me is, and this, I got a good friend of mine, his name is Jack, and his father stated to me, the longest journey is shortened by taking the first step.
Yes.
So in order for me to take that first step, I had to put it out there.
That's right. Got it. Yeah. And one of the quotes that I have is, I can't remember exactly how I phrase it. The longest journey is often over the shortest distance back to yourself.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. I definitely like that. I'm with that. Because that's the road that we're going down. We have to get back to ourselves.
Because
if we don't, then at the end of the day, what was it all for?
Right. That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I do too is I teach a multitude of children. I mean, driving the school bus and things of that nature, and always encouraging them to be better people in life and giving them different tools of advice to say, hey, if you do these things, then these things will actually help you along the way. I never tell them a definite, this is guaranteed to work for you, this is that. No, it'll help you along the way.
That's right.
There's always some critiquing in the lives that we live, depending on what type of life we're living. So something may have to be tweaked one way in order to work for one person and tweaked another way to work for somebody else. But then another person may just be able to go straight through. So
right.
It just depends on our lives and our lifestyles and
yeah.
what we're willing to overcome.
Exactly.
I truly thank you so much. I'm going to get myself out of here. Got to go tend to my grandbaby. She's fussing over me.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, as soon as this uploads, I will send it to you, and then you can edit it and all that kind of stuff. And if you need some help setting up Calendly, just, you know, shoot an email to me and I'll help you.
I got you. Thank you so much. You are definitely a true blessing to me. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, okay?
Most definitely. You as well. Don't stop.
All right. Take care.
Peace and blessings.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.